Welcome to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, with your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. I'm your host, Zanetta Adams, Director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. And, you know, while Thanksgiving may be over, we still have so many holidays coming up. We have Christmas, we have Hanukkah, we have Kwanzaa, and so many more. And today we're going to talk about supporting our veterans throughout the holiday season and beyond. We've got guests from Fisher House, Michigan, Michigan Veterans Homes, and Battle Creek VA Medical Center to discuss how they are serving veterans' families and how you too can receive those services or step up your support for veterans in your own way throughout the holiday and every day of the year. Our guests for today are Kate Melcher of Fisher House, Michigan, Ann Zerbe and Ryan Engel of the Michigan Veterans Homes, and Kendra O'Keelan, Veterans Justice Outreach Coordinator for Battle Creek VA Medical Center. This is a show that you don't want to miss. Stick around. We'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. Today, we're talking about and with some great organizations that are serving veterans and veterans families this holiday season and every day of the year. Joining me during this segment is Andy Hennion, who is our communications manager at the MVAA. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Thanks, Director Adams. Great to be on.
Yeah, some of you all who, if you've been on the show, you may have talked to Andy as he's been helping to make sure that we have great content and great guests. But, you know, we're talking about the holiday season. And before we kind of jump into talking about some of the organizations, one of the things that I don't know if I really had it growing up, but it's something that my kids have wanted and we've had it kind of intermittently through different years is an advent calendar. Have you ever had an advent calendar, Andy?
I have. We've had different versions of it over the years. With small children, it mainly involves chocolate, as you may
chocolate.
Yep. So each day is someone gets to eat some chocolate.
Yeah. Well, and I've seen different ones like you mentioned. There's some that start on what, December 1st, and then there's some that start on like the 12 days of Christmas. Is that right?
Yep. Ours was typically the 12 days of Christmas.
Okay. Well, you know, I was looking up advent calendars yesterday because I'm all about the grown-up stuff myself. And I saw that they had advent calendars where you could like pull makeup items out of like advent calendars every day. Or I'm really looking for a gift card one. I hope somebody gets that one for me where every day I can just pull a gift card out. That would be really fun. Those are some of those traditions. And one of the other things that we started probably maybe 6 or 7 years ago with our kids was the Elf on the Shelf. Did you ever do that with your kids?
I did not do Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah. Elf on the Shelf got in a lot of trouble. He's been in cereal. He's spilled out lotion. He's done all kinds of stuff. So Elf on the Shelf has retired because my children are 13 now, the youngest ones. And so we're done with Elf on the Shelf. But so we're talking about holiday traditions. But, you know, I wanted to make sure we talked about some of the other great folks we're going to have on the show today. One that's really close to home and within our department is the Michigan Veterans Homes. And I know many of you may know that we just opened up the two new facilities, the one in Grand Rapids to replace the one in Grand Rapids and then one in Chesterfield Township. Andy, did you ever get an opportunity to get out there and look at them at all?
I did. They're absolutely striking, you know, and the difference to the previous homes, right? So they're just that home-like setting is just, it's really wonderful for the veteran to have private bedrooms and bathrooms and everything they have in there. It's just, you can tell, you know, that the veterans just feel like they're more at home out there.
Yeah. I mean, you take away that tall building structure and you do a single level structure with, it's beautiful. When I looked at there, I was like, well, you know, this is a place I could potentially live one day, but they have smaller communities, which I love. And it's connected by this community center where everybody could come together, but I believe it's 16 person communities with 128 per home total, but 16 folks with their own like cook staff, their own, they all have their own food preparation area. They have their own fireplace. I mean, it's just beautiful. I mean, if you're looking for places to go, and I know we'll talk with Ann Zerbe a little bit later on this, but it's going to be a great place to be able to visit for maybe that loved one or loved one couples, right? Because veterans and their spouses, if they qualify, can go there as well if they need skilled nursing. So we'll talk a little bit more about that with Ann Zerbe today. But yeah, I'm glad you were able to get a tour of that. It was a great, great place. And so Fisher House, Michigan will be here as well. And I'm not sure, did you get an opportunity to see the new Fisher House in Ann Arbor?
I have not seen the new Fisher House, but I'm interested in seeing it after doing research and talking to Kate about the facility.
It's a beautiful facility as well. And I can't wait for Kate Melcher to talk more about it on the show later today. And if you haven't had opportunity to see it and you're having to have surgery in the area, this is going to be a great facility for you. And I will say that the VA also has some great programs that they're doing for folks during the holidays. And I just want you all to remember that holidays are a time to celebrate, but it's also time to remember that not everybody has someone, that there are people that may be dealing with things, and holidays make it more, it makes it more stressful. I can't even imagine a person who, you know, maybe they both their parents are gone, or their sibling or their child or whatever the case is. But I can say I can definitely sympathize, because my father passed away 2 days after Christmas 2 years ago. And so we'll be coming up on 2 years on December 27th that he passed away in a facility that was a rehab facility that he just got to, had only been there not even 24 hours. So he was on the mend, supposed to be coming home. So I know it's a tough time and you may be dealing with something. And so I encourage you to reach out to the Veterans Crisis Line. If you just need to talk to somebody, guess what? That's what I did when I was struggling during that time. I reached out to somebody outside of my normal circle because I didn't want to burden other people with my stress and my struggles. And I reached out to someone and it really helped me through that moment. And so you don't have to be contemplating suicide to reach out. You can just be dealing with some things and have somebody help talk you through it. And so don't forget, you can call 988 and press 1. If you're struggling with resource connection, I mean, there's so many new things we talked about last week, DHHS and their assistance, food assistance, more food assistance during the holidays. We talked about LIHEAP, which they provide assistance with utilities. We provide assistance with utilities and so many other emergency things through the Michigan Veteran Trust Fund for those who qualify. So don't struggle alone. Don't feel like you can't reach out and ask for help. Don't have the mentality that, I'll save it for someone else. If you need it, ask for it, reach out. So, after the commercial break, we'll be talking to Kate Melcher from the Fisher House, Michigan, about all the things that she's doing there. So stick around. We'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. Joining me as our first guest today is Kate Melcher. Kate Melcher is Executive Director of Fisher House, Michigan, a position that she's held for nearly 6 years. She's a veteran of the U.S. Army, where she served as an aviation officer. She's also served as an operations director in the U.S. Senate and has a bachelor's degree in political science from the University of Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Kate.
Thanks so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
The last time that you were here, we were talking about the opening of Fisher House Ann Arbor. And so I know there's a lot that you have going on, but, before we really get into talking about that, can you tell us what is a Fisher House? I mean, I think some people get it confused with Ronald McDonald House. And so if you could just tell us what that is.
Right. Well, we love that analogy because it's very helpful. We are like a Ronald McDonald House in that we keep families connected during a medical crisis. What makes us different is that Fisher Houses are built near military and VA hospitals. So we keep veteran families together here in Michigan.
That's great. And it's clear from the response to the Ann Arbor House that there was a definite demand for it. Can you tell us, as you're talking about housing families, how many visitors you've had so far since 2020 opening, right?
Well, I want to give you a little bit of a comparison that I think is appropriate based on last weekend's football game. Mm-hmm. So Dayton, Ohio has a Fisher House that just opened about 4 years ago, and they just celebrated their 1400th family. The Ann Arbor Fisher House opened just over 2 years ago and has celebrated its 3200th family. So this Fisher House in Michigan has been open half as long and has hosted more than twice as many families. That just tells us that the need is so incredibly great that not only do we need that Fisher House in Ann Arbor, but we need to build in Detroit as well.
Yeah. And that, you know, that it, I know that that's your next goal. I was very honored to be able to MC your event that you had to raise awareness of that Fisher House in Detroit. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on, like where you are in that process?
Of course. So the Fisher House is a public-private partnership. So it's all private gifts and grants that build a Fisher House, but it's very important to build a Fisher House on federal land, because once the Fisher House is built, it's actually gifted to the VA. So the process that we're in right now is the Veterans Administration is working on procuring land. They've identified land on Woodward Avenue, which is a really beautiful spot in the New Center neighborhood. And they're darn close to closing that real estate transaction that will allow the build to begin. Once Fisher House Foundation puts a shovel in the ground, things happen very, very quickly. Fisher houses are usually built and furnished within about a year's time. You know, we certainly don't want to waste a moment of time that would keep a veteran away from receiving VA care because he can't have his family with him, or she can't bring her family with her.
Yeah. And that's great. Great information. And I would say, so you have a 16 suite home already in Ann Arbor. How many are you looking at for Detroit?
Well, because the numbers are just blowing us out of the water in Ann Arbor, you know, there's already some very quiet talks about maybe needing a second Fisher House for Ann Arbor. So we don't want to be caught in that situation for Detroit. So instead of building a 16 suite home, we're actually looking at building a 20 suite home. It will make it one of the largest Fisher houses in the world. There are currently 93 in states all over the nation and in a few countries overseas. So on any given night, up to 1,300 families could be staying in a Fisher House. And we want to add 20 more families when we get Detroit up and running.
Now, I remember when I did the tour of Fisher House in Ann Arbor, beautiful. It reminded me of a hotel, but like a family place. Like it was, you had this beautiful laid out kitchen with food that families could utilize, but also refrigerator space where they could cook and bring their own food. You know, what is the cost to a veteran's family to be able to stay at a Fisher House?
A veteran's family never pays a dime to stay at a Fisher House. When we talk Fisher House, you'll hear me use words like home or home away from home. We don't say hotel. We don't say facility. You know, the institutional words that you think of when there's something that supports a VA, those are not words that we use to describe. It truly is a home away from home. It's some of the nicest places that folks have ever stayed. You know, we've had folks walk in and say, oh my gosh, is this for generals and colonels? Do I even belong here? But the answer is yes. Fisher houses serve all veterans from all branches of service, all eras of service. So long as they're getting their medical care at VA and their family needs to travel with them, we want to be able to host them at the Fisher House.
You know, Kate, earlier you mentioned that you donate the Fisher House to the VA once it's completed. You know, there might be someone out there thinking, like, why do you need to donate something to the federal government? Can't they just pay for it themselves? Can you answer that question?
Well, I absolutely can. Everything that I just described, it's difficult to build something like that when you're using state or federal dollars. Because we use only private gifts and grants to build a Fisher House, we get to keep Zachary Fisher's intent, which was to build something that is worthy of our men and women in uniform. So, you know, the kitchen is very well appointed. It's incredibly well decorated. We want to have the best of the best for our veterans and their families. And we want to have a partnership with the VA. So when the VA accepts that gift of the most beautiful home they would ever have on a VA site, they agree to keep it that way. So they're able to use congressionally appropriated dollars to staff those Fisher houses, to make sure the lights are on, the internet runs, and all of those things. And then Fisher House Michigan stays around behind to make sure that we fill any gaps that they can't use congressional funding or VA funding for. So we keep the refrigerators stocked. We provide local transportation for families. We provide toiletries, or, you know, heaven forbid, We've had families that had to come in an emergency, and there are times when things are so critical that you might leave your purse on the kitchen table. Well, we want to make sure that you've got a change of clothes and a little bit of funding to make that happen. So Fisher House Michigan and our board, we're committed to make sure that when a family is staying at the Fisher House, they don't reach into their pocket for anything.
Well, that's great. And that lifts such a big burden off of a veteran and their family, knowing that their family will be taken care of. And I know, just, you know, looking at the model in Ann Arbor and what you're doing in Detroit, we need more Fisher houses for sure. You know, You talked about the cost, which is nothing to the veteran, but what are some of the eligibility requirements for a veteran's family to stay there?
So because the Fisher House becomes part of the VA, it's part of the referral process. So if you are in VA and you're talking with your doctor or social worker, nurse or psychiatrist, anybody that is providing you care in VA, if you tell that person, this would be so much better if I could have my husband with me, but we lived too far away. All that VA personnel has to do is put in a referral to request a room at the Fisher House. This Fisher House in Ann Arbor has actually hosted veterans that were coming to Detroit for exceptions. There are ways that Fisher House is able to say yes, but you can't say yes unless you ask. So if you're getting care through VA, even if it's community care, even if the VA is referring you to Michigan Medicine or to Beaumont or to someplace else, ask the question. Having your family there to advocate for you will make sure that you have a better experience and likely better outcomes.
Well, that's important. And I love what you all are doing at the Fisher House. And, there may be people out there who want to help. They may want to donate time. They may want to donate resources. Maybe they want to donate food, grocery cards to be able to buy food for those families. Where can they do that? Or are those things that you accept?
Yes, ma'am. We can accept all of those things. The best way to start is fisherhousemichigan.org or giving us a call at 313-483-6543. We love to say yes. You want to donate Kroger gift cards? Yes, please. You want to donate your time to prepare a meal for 16 families? Yes, please. Let's find a right date to do that. You don't cook, but you want to help another way. Let's find a way to make things work. You want to give us the gift of gab? Absolutely. Tell the people in your church pew or at your kid's soccer game or wherever you are this week, tell them what you learned about Fisher House on this show. There's going to be somebody who's never heard of Fisher House that might be able to take advantage of it if they need to travel for care.
Absolutely. Well, before we wrap up, just real quick, where do you see Fisher House, Michigan in 5 years?
Well, Fisher House, Michigan is a part of the Fisher House Foundation Road to 100. The intent is to have 100 Fisher Houses within the next 5 years. We're at 93 now, and we expect Detroit to be between 94 and 100. We're hoping that it's sooner rather than later, but we're on that path together with the National Foundation.
Well, we'll keep in touch to make sure that we are finding out more and more about what you're doing. Thank you so much for joining us again today and for all the work that you're doing for veterans in the state.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. Now, your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. Our next guests today are Ann Zerbe and Ryan Engel. Ann was appointed Executive Director of the Michigan Veterans Homes by Governor Whitmer in September 2019. She previously served as Transition Executive for Michigan Veterans Homes and as Vice President for the Michigan Veterans Health System. Ryan Engel just recently joined Michigan Veterans Homes as their Director of Development and Strategic Engagement. Before that, Ryan served as Partnership Coordinator for the MVAA and as Administrator of the Jacob Betty Home in Marquette. Welcome back to the show, both of you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yes, thank you.
You are so welcome. And so, Michigan Veterans Homes have really been on the move and doing a lot of work in the last few years. For veterans. Can you talk a little bit about, where the Michigan Veterans Homes are now, like what you're doing and some of the great things you've done in the last couple of years?
Sure. Thanks so much. So the homes, we've had veteran homes in the state of Michigan for quite some time. They previously operated kind of separately. In the last couple of years, we've tried to bring those operations together, look for ways to improve care. We had a home in Marquette and a home in Grand Rapids. And we've recently expanded and opened a new home in Chesterfield Township in Macomb County. And we are excited to be able to start serving veterans on the east side of the state. So that's been one of our major initiatives as we've tried to move the organization forward.
Okay. Well, that's good information. How much is your budget? What are you working with as far as budget for your homes?
In terms of what it might cost for the veterans who come to stay with us, I can talk about some of the benefits that veterans who would like to come and live at the homes
Well, absolutely. I know you're working with a $34 million budget, though, at the homes, and that, you know, the state of Michigan is continuing to fund that. And I know, and that $34 million, I'm sorry, is for funding for your new home, right?
Yes, actually, I guess I will talk about that. Recently, we were lucky enough to have the legislature and Governor Whitmer support a state match for construction of a replacement facility for our Marquette home. That's something that we've really been needing for quite some time. The building that we're currently operating in was a former hospital up in Marquette. It served its purpose. It's been chugging along, providing services for veterans for quite some time, but it was time to modernize the facilities. And fortunately, we have the support of the state to be able to move forward with that. And we will be applying, we'll be seeking funding for this coming year from the federal VA to complete that construction.
That's excellent news. I know the folks in Marquette are going to be super excited, especially if they've had any opportunity to see the new homes that you have in Grand Rapids and Chesterfield. And so, you know, on that note, can you talk about like how they're different from, let's say, Marquette or old Grand Rapids? How is that design different?
Yeah, so when you think about skilled nursing, a lot of times people have that idea of a medical kind of hospital setting, very institutional. That's very similar to the way nursing care used to be provided. What we're trying to do with these new buildings is modernize to move into providing care that looks a lot more like your home. So with the design of these new buildings, we have created a design where there's a central community center, and coming out from that community center are neighborhoods and households, which are smaller, 16 people to a household, to create that home-like atmosphere, as opposed to, you know, you're thinking multi-story buildings, units, things of that nature. We're trying to create something that looks more like a home.
Yeah, and they are beautiful. They're modern looking. I mean, I know you have pictures on your website, which is michigan.gov/MVH, I believe.
That's great.
I know you have photos up there. It's beautiful, beautiful layout, beautiful place. It's a place that, you know, if you had to go into skilled nursing, I'm like, I want to go there. So great work on that. What are your long-term plans? Like if you had a wish list and you could have how many homes in Michigan, like what would that look like?
Right now, our strategic plan, we are looking at trying to find a way to have a state veteran home within 70 miles, you know, about an hour from 95% of the state's population. So not just veterans, but their families who are the people that want to come and visit their loved ones who may be staying with us. Right now, as we said, we have three facilities that are currently open. That would involve looking at around 7 facilities in the future. So it's part of our long-term goal. Right now, the replacement of the Marquette building is the next step in our strategic plan to make sure we have a modern building and can continue providing services to the veterans we have been serving in that community for the last 40 years. But definitely looking to continue construction in some of those major population centers across the state so that we can better serve veterans in the state of Michigan.
Well, you know, I know that there's folks that have been asking about Detroit and other areas, and I know you're actively working on those things, you know, just hopefully, you know, you'll be able to get to at least half or a little bit over half of your goal within the next few years. So we'll be rooting for you. Now, I know we talked about some of the federal funding and state funding that go into fund these homes, but you receive charitable funding as well. And, you know, someone might be thinking like, well, if you're receiving federal funding and state funding, why do you need donations? Ryan, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the involvement and generosity of community is one of the things that makes the state veterans homes here in Michigan, I think, special and unique and allow us to go above and beyond and do the things that we wouldn't be able to do without that community support. And there's certainly plenty of ways for community and organizations to get involved in supporting the work we do through, you know, donating items, through monetary contributions, or through volunteer support. And that's, you know, it's a critical pillar of how we serve those who've served here at our facilities.
You know, I know that, you know, people are often reaching out to us saying, you know, we want to give something, we want to do something for the veterans or do something for the veterans in the veterans homes, or, and I'm sure they reach out to you as well. What are some of the things? And I know that there are people that probably want to donate everything, right? They want to donate clothes. They want to donate all kind of stuff, which you probably don't have storage for, but what are some of the things that maybe you would say are good things to donate? And maybe some of the ones that maybe you probably, you know, maybe what are some of the big ones that you could think of that maybe may not be a good thing to accept?
Oh yeah. So I point everyone, right? We kind of decentralize this on a home by home basis. But the nice thing is you had mentioned our website, Director Adams, www.michigan.gov/MVH. And we post monthly there for each facility, a wish list of items that those individual homes are seeking, right? From, certain batteries at Grand Rapids to fishing poles at our new facility there in Chesterfield Township. And there's a lot more than that. They also post things that they're not actively seeking or aren't accepting right now because of whether it's space or for whatever reason, we just can't have it. But I encourage anyone who might want to, you know, donate an item to check those lists out, because you never know what you might have sitting or, you know, organizationally, maybe you can easily acquire to give to those who've served.
That, you know, that's a great point. So going to the website is going to be the best bet for folks who want to give. And I know sometimes people volunteer their time as well. I know it's been different during COVID, but, you know, I know that there are also people who have left like maybe their estate or pieces of their estate to the veterans' homes. How do they do that if they're interested in maybe leaving a large donation, or, you know, do they just put Michigan Veterans Homes in their will? Like, how does that work?
So absolutely. I mean, they would want to, you know, plan it out in their will, but you're right. That has happened. The, you know, leaving an estate to the veteran homes, whether it's the Jacob Eddy or the veteran homes at large. I mean, I've seen, you know, home by home or all together. But we want to work with individual, donors, if that's their intent, on how they can do that. And, you know, certainly an attorney is of benefit when planning such things. But there's just plenty of ways to give, whether it's an item, whether it's, you know, estate planning, whether it's a small, a medium, or a large monetary donation. I mean, it's volunteering your time, whatever you have to give. And I mean, now is the, you know, a time that many people think this is the, you know, a time to reflect and how can I, you know, give back. And we're certainly one option to do that by impacting the lives of those who've worn the uniform and now are in a later stage of life needing care.
And I would encourage anyone to, apologies for jumping in here, to reach out directly to Ryan. He can provide his contact information. But if you have questions, particularly on some of those larger donations, but really related to anything, reaching directly out to us, we can help provide information that might be relevant as you're working with your estate planner or anyone else to provide a donation to help the veterans that we're serving in the home. So,
well, thank you both so much for joining us today. We've run out of time, but we will make sure that if you want to reach out to Ryan or the Michigan Veterans Homes, you can go to their website or you can give us a call at 1-800-MICH-VET and we'll get you directly connected. Thank you so much. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. Joining me today is our final guest, Kendra O'Keelan. Kendra has served as a Veterans Justice Outreach Coordinator at the Battle Creek VA Medical Center since April 2018, working with veterans in the criminal justice system to connect them to VA services and treatment. Prior to that, she served as a therapist and case manager for 9 years at the Battle Creek VA Medical Center. She has a bachelor's degree from Hillsdale College and a master's in social work from Western Michigan. Welcome to the show, Kendra.
Good afternoon.
So, you know, Kendra, you know, we're talking about the holidays and, you know, the needs of veterans during the holidays. And I know that you started a program during COVID called Recovery During the Holidays. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So a little bit, just a little bit of background. You mentioned my information, but my co-facilitator, Colleen Campbell, she is the program manager for the Jesse House, which is a transitional housing program through the Battle Creek VA. So the veterans that both of us work with have a lot of mental health and substance use issues and are in recovery from those. So we all know that the holidays are stressful on top of our normal general stress. But for folks that are in recovery, and especially during COVID, we just thought it would be a good idea to have a safety network in place, I guess, So that was where recovery during the holidays grew from, because one big key piece for maintaining recovery is to have a support network. And then with COVID restrictions in place, especially at December of 2020, we just thought, what better thing to do than to have a group where we can talk about all those stressors and how to cope with them.
Okay. And so you've been doing this program for the last, for the past 2 years. I mean, do you have a lot of veterans attending? Like how has this program been received?
We have about, well, we hold the top, the most amount of people that we can have in the group is 12. So that's where we cap it. We accepted 14 this year, just in case, you know, folks want to come and go. It has been well received. A majority of the veterans in the group right now are part of the Jesse House. They just really seem to like to have this place to be able to discuss this, all these stressors, and normalize it.
And so in the group, you talk about, you know, a lot of people, when you think about group, you're like, oh, here's another therapy session. Here's another, like, what do you all do in group?
Well, thanks to Colleen, we do holiday trivia. At Thanksgiving, she has Thanksgiving themed trivia, and then Christmas and New Year's. So that kind of lightens the mood a little bit in the very beginning. We do introductions at the very first session. Each veteran, we kind of do like a round robin and ask the veterans, all right, what kinds of stressors are you anticipating during this holiday season? What kinds of things would you like to discuss in this group? What do you want to get out of it? And then we kind of tailor it to what the group members have on their mind and what they would like to discuss.
What are some of the stressors you see? I know I was talking earlier about how, you know, the holidays bring extra stress. You know, some people are alone during the holidays. Some people are, have a, you know, are mourning the loss of a loved one. What are some of the stressors that you see during the holiday?
On top, I mean, financial stuff, having too many events, or perhaps in some of these veterans' cases, not being able to attend these family events, initially because of COVID, or right now, possibly because of their legal situation or being in a recovery program and not being able to leave. One big issue that several members brought up this time around was around grief and loss. One session just recently, we talked a lot about how several of the veterans were going to be away from their children and different ways that they could still kind of celebrate and maintain contact with them. So they didn't feel that loss quite so heavily. Just going to possibly going to family events and dealing with some of the stigma that comes with mental health or substance abuse, and how to cope with that. Going to, you know, feeling as if they need to purchase gifts for folks and not being able to. So there's kind of a sense of not being able to maybe hold up some of those traditions. Another thing, big thing, is expectations that we have going into the holidays. Like, everyone's going to be so wonderful because I'm clean and I'm in recovery now, and they just will accept me. And sometimes that's really not the case.
So do you, you know, what are some of the things that you're telling your clients, or giving advice to your clients on how to cope with some of these things? Maybe it's a financial stressor. I know you mentioned, like, you know, connecting more with family maybe ahead of time, but what are some of the other things that you, tools that you provide?
When Colleen and I were doing research for the group, looking up articles and videos and whatnot, we stumbled upon this worksheet. It's called Coping with Holiday Stress Worksheet. And it kind of talks, like, it's got different bullet points. Like, number one, let go of unrealistic expectations. We can't recreate the past. We can't have the perfect holidays. And then it asks the veteran to answer, what's one thing that I would like to have happen this holiday season that probably won't? So some of it is thinking about these things ahead of time and then coming up with a plan. All right, if this particular situation happens, this is what I have in place to help me get through this particular stressor. And oh, then
that's great.
Sorry, each veteran has one of these worksheets, and we talk about it like right before Thanksgiving, and we revisit it again at Christmas, again at New Year's Eve too.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I can imagine if you're in recovery, New Year's Eve, you know, that's a time where people are partying and all these other things, that it may be an additional stressor and, you know, may test whether you're really truly working through that recovery or not. So
absolutely.
Yeah, providing that. Where can people find that holiday stress worksheet? Maybe it may be a good tool for a lot of people.
I just looked it up online. That's where I found it, actually. And we've used it the last 3 years. It's a great worksheet.
All right. So maybe Google coping with holiday stress worksheet, and you may be able to find it and utilize that in your own space, whether you're in substance abuse recovery or just dealing with stressors at the holiday, because I know anxiety is a stressor. You know, people who have struggled with anxiety or PTSD in general without substance abuse, they may be struggling. So definitely. You know, do you think that the holidays can be more difficult for veterans? And if so, why or why not?
I was talking with Colleen about this earlier. I think, I don't know that they're necessarily more stressful for a veteran versus a civilian, but I do think that it may trigger some previous feelings or events that maybe occurred during a deployment, for example, being separated from their family and not being able to celebrate those holidays in the same kind of traditional manner of being with family at that time. So it might spark some of that stuff.
Yeah. And I can imagine that someone who's been deployed quite a number of times and have been deployed during holidays, they may not even know how to interact during holidays because they've been gone so many times and they're used to being away. So that definitely can be another stressor as well. So again, I encourage anyone who may be struggling to reach out to 988. Where else would you say someone can reach out to if they're feeling down this holiday?
Well, you beat me to the punch on the 988. That was going to be one of my suggestions. The other would, you know, if you're a veteran and you're already connected with your VA services, definitely talk to your therapist or mental health provider. If you maybe are involved with your primary care, each primary care team has a mental health provider connected to it. Certainly myself, Colleen, you can contact us about the group. And then one website I had was a holiday stress resource center at APA.org. So that was a nice resource too.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Kendra. Again, you can always reach us at 1-800-MISHVET. That's 1-800-642-4838 to get connected to Kendra and all the guests we had today. I want to again thank Kate Melcher, Ann Zerbe, Ryan Engel, and Kendra O'Keelan for joining us today. And we hope that you're well. Reach out to 988 if you need some additional support. We'll see you next week again on the Veterans Perspective.